This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Matt Wolf. Matt's with RSM. Matt's one of the brightest thinkers around the private equity business, around valuations, around trends that I know. Matt, we're looking at a situation where we're talking on September 9th, 2021. Jobless numbers, new claims for unemployment came in much lower than expected, but August new jobs added was much lower than expected as well. The Delta variant seems to be making more hay and more challenges. Cases are up in 40 of 50 states. The surge in the South seems to be dying down a little bit, but being replaced by surges in the West and the Midwest. Deal activity, an absolute record amount of money put to work in the first half or the first 8 months of the year, $1.8 trillion in the U.S., $3.6 trillion internationally. So a lot of different factors, jobless numbers all over the place, the Delta variant surging, already a tremendous amount of dollars put to work, both in M&A activity and by private equity. What do you see for the rest of this year? What do you see for the next 16 months? Any sense of the environment that we should be looking at or what we should be thinking about?
Well, the deal activity will not slow through the end of the year. If anything, it will increase. I think especially this week, perhaps next week, we may understand more about some of the pay-fors on the infrastructure bill. What will that mean for the business and transaction tax environment? And that will probably fuel even more deals. So deal flow will continue to increase through the end of the year. And I expect the balance of 2022 as well. Really don't see the case for this slowing down. On the kind of macroeconomic front, it's really interesting. You know, you mentioned the jobless numbers we had on, the payrolls report last week, and that is all on its typical 1 week or 1 month lag. And the important thing to note there is, expiration of the pandemic unemployment assistance with Labor Day. And so we really won't begin to see an inkling of how that will broadly affect the labor market until next month. Certainly, we have anecdotes from employers. We have studies from separate states that have ended early and what that's meant for the labor market. And I think at this point, at a high level, all we can just say is there's still a lot of uncertainty and lack of clarity in what does the labor force participation look like? What does that mean for jobs? What does that look like for scaling a business, right, as you're investing in various ecosystems? And I think the answer is just that there is no one size fits all. Each sector and subsector of the economy, each geography will be different. And that's going to be increasingly important for investors and operators to understand, really, as we move forward for the next probably 3 to 5 years at least.
100%. And so it really is. It really, we like to think of it as one national economy, but it really works very differently in different parts of the country based on a whole bunch of factors. I mean, if you're traveling hospitality driven, that is one impact. If you're Delta surging in your area, that has another impact. If you're services, that is another impact. So you really break it down. It is really less and less just one national economy, although we are very interconnected, into lots of regions and so forth.
Absolutely. And the other sort of dynamic and slicer to that analysis is vaccination mandates. You know, we've seen more and more companies, presumably post approval of the vaccines, that are now mandating it for their employees or, you know, making it kind of difficult and onerous to fulfill your job duties unless you are vaccinated, and also a growing or at least vocal proportion of the labor force that says we don't want to be vaccinated. We will not get vaccinated. And, you know, we have some clients in certain geographies, in certain businesses where, you know, they want to explore a vaccine mandate or, you know, some sort of strong policy in that area, but they're concerned about what it means for the availability of labor. They don't want to shut out potential employees over a vaccination mandate. And it's a really difficult choice for a lot of employers in certain sections of the economy, you know, certain industries, certain geographies, or both.
Absolutely. And this vax mandate thing is fascinating. I think many of us think it's ultimately probably a good idea for public safety. But when people are facing tremendous labor shortages and some of their labor force may resign or quit if they're mandated a vaccine, it puts them in a very much of a challenging situation. I saw today that United Airlines is pushing back their vaccine mandate by 5 weeks, meaning into November, because they're very concerned about losing labor.
Absolutely. And even for them, and this might have something to do with the unions too, I saw the same headline today, you know, if you don't get vaccinated, you'll be put on kind of leave, right? And so it's still kind of a light mandate, but they're still, as you mentioned, they're pushing it back. Other companies are kind of taking a different sort of approach, and we'll see this evolve, and it will be a lot of experiments, so to speak, of what works, what doesn't work, and how that policy evolves for corporate America over the next 6 months.
Fantastic. What else do you see? So you see the deal environment continuing to sort of like move forward. And what could hurt the deal environment? Is the number one thing that could hurt that just people seeing multiples go down and values go down? So private equity has a harder time seeing how they're going to get out of things on the other side. Or what could have a negative impact on the deal environment?
Yeah, I mean, multiples decreasing could, but, you know, it's difficult to understand, at least broadly, what might bring those multiples down, right? We like to, on the show, talk about how multiples really are a price. Price is influenced by supply and demand. In this case, the supply of investable companies and the demand being the demand for those companies is really the best measure is dry powder. And dry powder continues to increase significantly. The supply of investable companies, you know, is maybe growing, but not nearly as quickly. So at least in aggregate, it's difficult to see how those multiples could come down. Now, within certain sectors and subsectors, certainly that could happen. But on the aggregate, and I don't see multiples really coming down. Perhaps if we get to such a strained labor environment as the virus comes back and we have more and more people leave the labor force to take care of family or for safety reasons or whatever, and you just can't scale a business, maybe we'll see a little bit of slowing in the deal environment. But it's difficult for me, at least today, to envision an environment in which, at least at a broad level, that the deal activity kind of slows.
Fantastic. And in terms of a professional services firm like yours that works with so many private equity funds, it's just still going gangbusters in terms of busyness and what you're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it is. You know, everybody's trying to compete for the same few companies to buy and resources to do due diligence or help kind of negotiate and structure deals are becoming harder and harder to find. Maybe that's what'll cap deal activity, is if there's just nobody left to do due diligence or tax planning on them.
Right. No, I mean, you already see that. You see that sort of deal firms are having to impose, you know, very choosy about what deals they take and so forth. They're because they've got to have their own pushback to make sure they can handle what's put on their plate with competence and so forth. But no, it's a fascinating, really hyper-linked and hyper-busy environment. And we'll just see how long it lasts. But Matt, always a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you. I mean, what sounds like to you is there's a lot of these different factors out there, but at the end of the day, private equity has so much money to put to work, and there's still so much opportunity, and there's such a shortage of deals that you're likely to see deal prices stay high into the foreseeable future.
Yes, I think so. At least at a macro level, certain subsectors, certain areas, we could see that decrease, but on the whole, absolutely.
Matt, thank you as always very much. Always a pleasure to visit with you. Just yourself, your colleague Rick Kess, just brilliant folks, and a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.